unfortunately, most of the salespeople, and I'm basically part of this gang, our motto is like, it's easy to be busy. It's always so many things to do. What most of the people fail to recognize is they do not really consider that lead is a person, it's not a company. Because we say that things are too expensive only when we don't see the value.
Hi, I'm Dmytro Švets, your host at the Start Global Insights, where I interview experts from different countries about local business secrets and international expansion experience.
Today we will talk about complex sales, which appears when you are selling abroad. So when you are selling abroad, then you have so many opportunities and you have so many clients. And this is good from one hand, but from the other hand, you need to understand how much attention to devote to each of these clients, because today the mass mailing or mass contacting through LinkedIn is not working anymore. You need to investigate and be more like intelligence agent than the sales person. And to go deeper in this topic, I invited my guest today, Olga Kobrina. She is a channel sales manager for CEE at Splunk, a Cisco company. And Olga has more than 17 years in B2B sales in different countries, from Central and Eastern Europe to Middle East and Africa. Hi, Olga, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Dima. Hi, everyone. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to share my experience and hopefully it will be useful for you.
Great. Could you tell a bit about yourself? What do you do at Splunk?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Splunk, currently my role is to help. So first of all, Cisco and Splunk, we are in indirect sales. So we rely a lot on our partner ecosystem. So now my role is actually help our partners to find new leads, to qualify the leads, and to help them to move the leads through the sales process. And of course, to develop the partner skills that will be enough for them to do the sales process themselves. And of course, to do the implementation, adoption, and post-sale support. Previously, actually, you're right, most of my experience comes from the sales. So I'm the channel development only for the last 2 years. Before this, I was a salesperson for Cisco, and afterwards I moved to AppDynamics, so I did the observability projects. And so you can think that I was first involved in the hardware sales. It always was B2B. So I moved from hardware to cloud software, and now I'm in security.
So from one side, you have a complex product of your company, and from the other side, you have also the complex buyer, yeah, because in most cases, you are not selling to one single person, you are selling to the company, and then you have this internal ecosystem of stakeholders or people inside the company. So this is like a collision of two universes together, and you need to find these links between all these people and to understand how to proceed. And I think that the biggest challenge here is to understand to whom to devote your full attention, yeah, to what clients to invest your time, and what clients could be shifted for the later approach. Now, how do you do that? So you mentioned that you have this qualification stage. Why do you need it?
Yeah, good point. First of all, yeah, let me just like reiterate what you just said. It is complex. Multiple teams are involved, as on our side, the same on the partner side and the same on the customer side. When multiple teams are involved and multiple people are involved, the first thing that we have, it's time and prioritization. And unfortunately, I don't know, like fortunately or unfortunately, yeah, but most of the salespeople, and I'm basically part of this gang, our motto is like, it's easy to be busy. It's always so many things to do. It's opening the CRM in the morning. I'm just making up the numbers, but you have 15 active opportunities you're working on. Then you have another like 20, 30, 40 leads coming from marketing, the registrations coming from partners. And yes, the big thing is actually how to prioritize and how to qualify what it's actually worth your attention. And the same is actually when it's come to involving some other people. because everyone is super busy, especially when we work in this multinational corporation, when one person responsible for multiple countries, the same on the sales side, channel side, and on the engineering side as well. So engineering people and their management, they actually want to understand where the time is spent. Yeah. Everyone actually as a metric has sales. It's not the time spent. It's basically the deals and the dollar closed. Yeah. So each functions whom we involved in the process, they want to understand actually what's the deal value and what the probability that the deal will be closed. Because no one actually wants to work on something that is just satisfying customers' interest, yeah? And unfortunately, a lot of leads that are coming, or even sometimes active opportunities, they are not real. It just, we are satisfying as a sales, we are first, we are satisfying someone's interest. And second, with this easy to be busy concept, we basically... we think that we are doing something, we think that we are contributing, we are adding value to the company, but as a result, first we are draining ourselves, and the second, the company doesn't see the results, yeah, because it's the sometimes what we see that the deals, the salesperson is working for like months, it drops at the very last moment, and the sales says, oh no, we were just like unlucky, something has happened, blah, 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 blah. But usually, if you will go back to the deal and we are doing this actually inside the company as the regular process, but when we analyze the deal and we analyze what happened, we can actually see that there were a certain red flags that we missed, yeah? Either consciously or unconsciously, again, because when salespeople, they see that they have 15 leads they're working on, they think that it's perfect, right? I have like so many customers, I'm going to meet my number. It's this 15 people, 15 companies, 15 leads or whatever.
Everybody is saying that they are interested. Yeah. So this is one thing is that you are contacting your client and the client says that we are not interested. So then this is like a very obvious red flag, so not to proceed there. In most cases, they are not, either they do not answer negatively or they are like taking the time to think about that. And it can be very long, especially in this complex products, the sales cycles are very long. So you can be lost in this deal, talking, meeting, wasting your time, actually. You say that there is a methodology or approach how to identify these red flags beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just, I'll come to this. Actually, thank you for bringing up this interested, not interested. That's actually... the worst thing that I can hear, it's the customer is interested or not interested. Because as you mentioned before, the customer is not a one person. So usually when I hear back from a partner, the customer is not interested. My first question is who?
Who is the customer?
Who on the customer side? Not just who is the customer. Because we basically can discuss a certain company, but who on the customer side is actually not interested? Who is this person? What's his role? What's his responsibility? So why actually we are are we actually sure that we are contacting the right person? And the same with this interesting thing, yeah? Like who is the person? What is his responsibility? Does he have any authority in the company? What's he or she, yeah, like with whom are we dealing, yeah? And when we speak about interesting, what is that is interesting, yeah? I mean, if you look, if you look now at our own behavior when we're buying things for us, yeah, so you go to the shop, it's not that like you are interested in apples, right? You just have some other ideas, like what's this interesting mean to you, yeah?
Or like, yeah, you're solving like, your
exactly.
prior
maybe
task.
You want, maybe you want to do the apple pie, yeah?
Yeah.
That's why you need apples, yeah? Or maybe you think that apple is a good snack for you, just like to
or for your kids
to
school.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. If someone will, in this store will see, say like, you know what, this is the new recipe for the plum pie, yeah? And there are plums, so maybe you will go for plums if you want to do the pie. But if you want a snack, then you will not go for the plum, whatever you can say. And the question is like, are you interested in plums? Yeah, sure. Like, yeah, I'm interested in plums. Yeah, so can you? And then the person will tell you like for an hour what are the plum. But you have in your mind that you have you need a snack for your kid, right?
Yeah.
You will not give plums because then this plum will be all over the backpack.
Yeah.
The same, and this is like what basically we are now coming to this qualification. So yeah, that's what we do on the qualification as well, like trying to understand basically who is interested or not interested. Is it the right person?
Mm-hmm.
And what does this mean? What is like lying underneath this, like interested or not interested?
What's the real need behind that? Yeah.
What the real need? But even before they actually looking on the real need, and if you look, for instance, on the lead sites, yeah, because that's where the whole process actually starts. It starts from the leads. So leads, it can be the marketing can bring leads, or like in our case, sometimes partners are bringing some leads, or we are the salespeople, we're doing some lead generation through the like LinkedIn emails, whatever. We will not discuss does it work or doesn't work. That, like, I think that's absolutely different topics.
And mm-hmm.
So let's imagine we have these leads. So the first thing that we, and lead is what? Lead is actually a person.
Yeah.
Think
yeah.
what most of the people they actually maybe fail to recognize is too strong, but that's actually what's happening. Yeah, they do not really consider that lead is a person. It's not a company.
And not even a role in the company.
And yeah. Not even a role in the company, I think. Mm-hmm. And not even a role in the company. That's a person. And person has his, her, they, whatever, yeah. That's own first role descriptions, the thing that's like must be done, and the second some personal things. Yeah, so sometimes when lead says I'm interested, maybe this lead wants to enhance his her own knowledge. That might be the case. And then the first thing that's like looking on the lead, on the person who is coming, of course, like the first candidate should be about this person.
Mm-hmm.
What's his role in the company? What are the interests? What responsibilities? So what we're basically trying to achieve, we're trying to understand if this person is the champion. When I say champion, I'm actually now using abbreviation from the, it's actually sales qualification methodological. It's now it's like a plenty of variations. Yeah, it's like MEDIC, MEDPIC. Yeah, it's just like depend on how granular we want to be. So when we look at the lead, what we need to understand in the person.
May I come back a bit to this abbreviation? So you, because when I teach and when I see somebody's teaching in business, they use a lot of abbreviations and they use the frameworks and learners, they think that this is some kind of magical bullet or magical wand that you can use and it will work. So just as a disclaimer, you can use abbreviations and framework just to easily remember the methodology, yeah, but not as a full instruction. And you mentioned this abbreviation that is called MEDPIC. Yeah, so I will then add in description of the episode, I will add how it is written and some abbreviation details as well.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, you're actually right. We have so many abbreviations that sometimes it's like we have like this is ABC done through X, Y, that. And when I ask, okay, what's ABC, the reply is, yeah, like how can you know it's that W, whatever. Like explain me one abbreviation through the another one. It doesn't make it clear.
What I like is that when two IT, so the IT person from software meets the IT person from hardware, and they use the same abbreviations but with totally different meaning. Thinking that they understand each other.
This perfect example is for infrastructure. Because for software guy and for hardware guy, infrastructure, there's like totally different things.
And for architect like, is the third one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. or like yesterday I saw on the slides abbreviation UC. And it's not like UC is unified communications, guys. What do you mean
of
by
course,
that?
Of course.
And this no, UC is use case.
or just you can see that, yeah, not hear.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's point taken. MEDPIC. MEDPIC is the sales qualification methodology. Again, it's not a sales process. Yeah, sales process is basically how you move your lead from the lead stage up to the closure. MEDPIC is something that you can check you can use to check on each stage how healthy is the deal. Yeah. So basically, what's their probability that the deal will be closed? Mm-hmm. So M state for metrics, E that's economical buyer, 2D is decision criteria and decision process. Mm-hmm. Then sometimes there is a P, so it can be my the peak or my dig. So mm-hmm. if there is a P, that's a paper process, which is actually part of the decision process. Mm-hmm. I stands for identified pay. Variations might be 1C might mean, white C always actually means champion, but double C means champion and competition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so that's about that. When we start working on a lead, on any lead, so the first, and lead is a person, yeah, and champion the person. So the first actually qualification, what we need to look into is that, is this person can be potentially my champion?
And who is the champion? What is the description of the champion?
So champion is the person who, the simplest one is like, if you think about it, this is the person who sells on your behalf in the company.
Mm-hmm. So he or she is so interested in and needs your product that they like help you to promote it internally.
And they, yeah, this is correct. And they actually have authority to do this.
Uh-huh. Okay. So this is important.
This is important. Yes. This is important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there might be some person who really thinks that the solution or service that you are offering, it will do good for a company. Let's not use word interest. Yeah, that's this mm-hmm. solution will basically satisfy their need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this person he or she genuinely tries to help, but because this person has no authority, basically no one listens to him or her. Then it just it's a coach, yeah. So these people, they're still very useful because mm-hmm. these people, they can tell you actually, they can tell you how company is making decision, what might be, because they are not they cannot set the decision criteria, but they might be able to tell you what are the decision criteria.
They are like information source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they you can due to them you can uncover some other letters in the metric. Yes, so sometimes they will be able to give you some information basically how to do the business case, mm-hmm. but they are not strong enough to promote, to really promote you inside the company. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they are not strong enough even to introduce you to someone, but they can tell you the name to mm-hmm. whom with whom you should meet. So again, we are starting like looking at the lead and lead the person. So the first thing is actually to qualify if this person can be a potential champion. Yeah, no one is champion from the start. We need to grow. We need to work with the person to understand his or her power inside the company, own pain or own need that this solution or service will satisfy. And how this person will be if this person will be really push us forward. So mm-hmm. that would be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one would be, and again, sometimes like there are discussions like what's the first, yeah, like champion or pain. From my perspective, we all come from people, so champion would be the first, yeah, because then if person contacts you or if he replies or she replies to the message, then probably there is some pain that this company is trying to address.
Mm-hmm. And moreover, if I think that, well, correct me if I'm wrong, it might be so that even if there is no pain in the company right now for your product, but you have a champion, then when this pain appears in the future, then this champion will come to you first.
Yes. But honestly, I don't believe that there is no pain in the company. So if this person, it's just in the matter of, is this pain, is it already on the company's conscious level? Mm-hmm. So are they really actively trying to solve it? Or it's company is bothered by something? Yeah, so there is actually a need. So there is the pain. It was never qualified. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was never quantified as well. So that's why, mm-hmm. again, jumping a little bit forward, or maybe even to the some other time, that's why we need metrics, yeah? Because we need to quantify the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
yes, even if the, but yes, if you build the person, the champion, if you build a strong connection, then this person will come back to you because they will know that something is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, there is a kind of like disadvantage to that because sometimes the people approach other people just to learn, just to mm-hmm. gather some information to, as you just mentioned, just when or if something appear that they are prepared.
Mm-hmm. So they can use you as a teacher, in fact.
Yes,
yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
free teacher.
Free teacher, yeah. So mm-hmm. so you think you are working on a deal,
mm-hmm.
but in fact, it's just someone is gathering information.
Yeah, it may be also for example, they have a tender, yeah, and they need some additional player to play on the tender, but somebody else is already winning, so they just using you to be this additional
second
player.
Offer. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, because they just or second thought or whatever offer, just in case maybe mm-hmm. they are not using you, maybe they are genuinely interested to understand, maybe there is something else on the market that mm-hmm. might fit better. But yeah, if in the bidding, if still, yeah, that's like, again, this discussion. Yeah, if RFP is out, should the company apply or not? I still think that they should, but they should actually go back and try to do the qualification. Yeah, try to really understand what's the real pain, what the company is trying to solve, what are the decision criteria. So then the RFP answer, they will actually fit to what the customer wants to see.
This is a really good point, and I think that this is also the mistake that people do when they sell. They are so glad that they've got this request for a proposal, and that they are rushing to apply for that, answering the questions of the client. In most cases, is not correct. So you need to go to the client again or first time before sending the RFP, and maybe. You can even influence the client so that they will change the questions in this RFP.
There is a possibility, yes. So, mm-hmm. yeah, of course, I totally agree. Just like answering the RFP, it's just time consuming. And if you think about the time it takes to answer and the probability to win, it honestly, it doesn't force it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like really low probability that someone who just like got the invitation for RFP will win it without understanding what's actually going on. Yeah, so the situations are different. If public company issued RFP, then it's more tricky to try to connect with them, but it's still possible. Yeah, there is still will be process with questions and answers, yeah? At least to mm-hmm. ask some qualification and clarification questions, which might even stimulate some thinking process on the customer side. Yeah, is this really what they need?
Mm-hmm.
But even if they still know what they need, yeah, then again, then you can prepare your offer better, and they it's like just increasing chances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even in formulation of the same answer, yes, even using correct words that the client will understand.
Oh, exactly, and especially like, look, just don't forget that we are all in AI era. So I could easily imagine that if it's multiple RFP responses, that some might want to use AI just to check if it's something that fits their RFP, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's mm-hmm. all a matter of this words, yeah?
How they will, what are the keywords they will look for, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we have stopped at pain identification. Yes.
Pain identification. Mm-hmm. Yes. So basically, when we look on the lead, so we're starting to see if this person has some can be champion, so has some authority, and what's the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And pain is something that we really need to stop and to dig deeper. Again, looking into the pain, it's I will use pain like real pain, yeah, because sometimes the customer says, oh, you know what, we need I'm come from IT, so I will use some mm-hmm. IT example. Mm-hmm. They need, oh, you know what, we need extra storage.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us the proposal for whatever the capacity and then some specification. So the correct question is like, look, guys, why do you need the extra storage? What type of data will be there? What are you trying to achieve? So mm-hmm. what are they? Do they need the data to store compliance? Are they launching new IT systems? And then you can actually shape, you can even propose some, maybe some other type of the storages, not the one that they originally requested. Or you can say like, okay, look guys, actually, if you need the storage for this specific case, maybe let's look with you to move into cloud. Yeah. Or maybe let's use something else.
I have a quick example that I had in my product, maybe a bit more clear for non-IT guys. Just recently, I've got a request to make the training in sales and in negotiations, corporate training. And then, of course, I asked why. So why do you need it? and then we started to dig deeper and understanding the whole sales cycle, who is the client, what do they sell, what is the product, what is the value proposition, and then how do they do it, how they generate leads, etc. And it appeared that the problem is not that the salespeople are bad in sales or negotiations, but in the product itself. So the product does not meet the request of their clients. And at the end, I said that you don't need the training for negotiations for your salespeople, which was kind of a bet for me. So I did not sell the training. But on the other hand, I did not sell the training that would not solve the problem. Yeah. So that's another stuff. Yes. I do not lose the time for this client because they actually do not need my product.
Exactly. And you know what? It's not that it's turned out bad for you. You would never ever sold it. Because at some point they will. So exactly. So they come to you like saying, we need a training for the salespeople. So if it wasn't you, but someone else, so the person would what? Like make an offer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the offer will go to the company and it will sit on someone's table for days, for weeks. Because they actually subconsciously, they know that they don't need the sales training. They know that the issue is somewhere different. So they know that it will not solve the issue. And when the product, service or whatever doesn't solve the issue, it's always what? Too expensive, right? Because we say that things are too expensive only when we don't see the value. So when the inconveniences of on our side, on the customer side, they're actually less than the price that they need to pay to solve them.
Exactly.
So that's another actually good point, speaking about the pain and identifying pain, to understand actually how big is the pain, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are they really suffering or it just good to have, yeah? So no, you didn't actually lose the deal. The deal was never there.
Exactly.
It was the perception the deal was there.
By the way, so when do you ask for the budget?
That's a question. That's a good question. It depends, to be honest. For me, what's actually the most important is to really qualify pain first.
Mm-hmm.
Qualify and quantify to see actually what are their financial implications on the current pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's simultaneously justified the price. And if the pain is strong enough, if it actually cost company like a feasible amount of money, then they can allocate extra budget.
Even not having the one.
Coming back to leads, if the lead description says this company is looking to do this project with a sum like 3-6 months, in this case, it will not hurt to say, okay, guys, if you're planning this project, do you have any budget allocated to this? Yeah, and if you don't mind, maybe you can share the budget. And again, here it's there might be like several options. Yeah, for instance, they might say, you know what, we actually looking to do this project and we have allocated 20k and your project is like 200k at minimum. Yeah, I wouldn't honestly I wouldn't bother them again, because something which they already have a price tag in their mind.
So everything 10 times bigger would be impossible for them to accept.
Exactly. If it's like a few times bigger, then yes, then we can come back, find pain, to create a business pain. But yeah, again, the budget, and that's why I not always add this upfront, just not to be discouraged. But this is important question, because again, so for not to waste time. Okay, it might be structured differently. Like when you identify the pain, you can actually ask, okay, so do you actually, is it big enough for a company? So you can actually, are you actually ready to solve it? Yeah, that's one of the, I think in our sales, yeah, we have this question in our sales methodology. Yeah, is it actually, are you dear customer? Are you actually ready to solve this pain? But again, it matters whom to ask this question. So to ask the question, and we are now looking on the letter E, economical buyer, that's person who actually can who has like funds at his discretion or her discretion. So who can actually say, yes, this is the pain. Yes, I will find money to solve it.
Can it be that the champion and economic buyer is one person?
Oh, they should be. The thing is that the champion is not one person. You build the champion's network, yeah? If the champion is one person, deal with the risk as well. Because people are people. Someone is working for the company, doing their best to solve these issues, whatever. And then the like counter-offer come and person leaves, yeah? And that's... And we had the situation in the past. And it all looked amazing. Yeah, so there was a champion. We identified that the processes, like everything was in place. But salesperson didn't work with anyone else in the company. Yeah. And this person leaves, even though we had a confirmation from economical buyer that they needed, the person who was driving the project left, and the economical buyer like, yeah, but who will do it now? Yeah, the pain is still there, but now we need to implement some organizational changes. To understand like who will, and again, pain might be, can be solved by different ways. Yeah. So this person was driving us to solve the pain. Then the new person comes. If we fail to build him like really quick as a champion, he might come with his own idea how to solve the issue. And with his own people who championed him on this previous workplace. Yeah, that's what you say. That's if you do a good job connecting the person and building the champion, then they will call you even when the opportunity appears.
Okay, so this letters what we had champion, we had I for identify pain, then we had metrics to understand what is the quantifiable things in this pain. Then we had economical buyer who pays for that, all that stuff. Is it enough to understand whether the lead is worth going further or not?
Oh, for lead, that's too much already. So on the lead stage, or when it's a lead, that's, again, if what we need to understand, the role of the person. So if he can be potential champion and his interest, okay, that's basically if he has some need. And get the idea of the pain. So if you have a champion and if you have the pain, then we can move lead to the next stages. Basically, economical buyer, it appears on the further stages of the sales process. Yeah. Metrics and pain quantification, it all appears later. So on the lead level, it's lead and champion, because it's highly unlikely that economical buyer will be your lead generated by marketing or by anyone else.
And highly unlikely. And then, so the pain identified, champion identified, and then we can say that the lead is qualified. Yeah, yes. And we can invest more time to develop that.
Yes, and then we can say that this is a qualified, this is a qualified opportunity. Yes. So then we work with the lead, it's now a qualified opportunity. Let's look and let's work from the opportunity, look on this opportunity from the sales process and apply sales process to understand. So what's okay? So the first would be then qualification. Yeah. So then we do what, like, then we qualify an already like opportunity. Then we're starting to the pain. We're starting to get an idea. What are the decision criterias? Can we impact them? Who we need to impact them? And then basically moving it to like proposal and later, like up to the closing.
It looks like we have more to talk about that, to understand how to move the lead after the qualification to the closure. Thank you, Olga. This was really interesting conversation, and I enjoyed it a lot. And I hope that I will see you again in the show, and we can talk further about complex sales in complex clients.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, yeah, and looking forward to the next episode.
Special thanks to all listeners who made it so far. And if you'd like this episode and you would like to get more insights on international expansion, please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode.